come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, we watch a movie that we sit around and talk about it for your listening pleasure and enjoyment. These are the Saturday Night Freak Show Superstar Irregulars.
This is Nick, guest appearance.
Holly.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. Hey, if you want to get a hold of us, you can write to us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. We'll read your comments on the air, or get a hold of us on Twitter. We're at Sat Freak Show, or via email at SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. And also, we encourage you, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, please like us or give us a star rating. It helps us be found by other like-minded individuals like yourself. Tonight, Sean chose the movie. Sean, what did we watch tonight?
We watched the oh-so-memorable Sorority House Massacre 2.
Which is from the year?
1990.
And directed by?
Jim Wynorski.
I'm going to throw another one in here. What's the tagline for the movie?
I don't know.
Okay. We should do that like in the future.
Probably. Taglines. I know it was once, it was also, technically they called it a remake of a movie called Nighty Nightmare. Which makes sense. Nighty Nightmare.
Never heard of that one.
Perfect.
Do you have a personal tagline for it?
I did say the ever memorable. That's what it should be. Wait, no, what was it? No, just the pull quote for me was what? Everything I remembered and more. Yeah. Sorority House Massacre 2. Yeah.
So this is, as Holly put it, this is some plastic surgeon's demo reel. 90 minutes of silicone.
Of fabulousness.
All right. So tell me, first of all, how did you come by this movie originally?
This was one of those video store finds. Mm-hmm. This is, you know. I mean, anything with the title with massacre in it, you're just like, all right, that sounds good. Especially as a, 10-year-old boy.
It wasn't Sorority that got you?
No.
No.
No. I mean, the cover.
The three huddled girls, you know, all in their 90s on the cover.
Yeah, which, them with the guy with the knife. But that was like, for this series and the other series, Slumber Party Massacre, like those were the covers. I think the first Sorority House Massacre was... a guy looking through a window at a girl in her nightie.
Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah, the second one is the three huddled together on the front with the guy and the knife. It's relation to Slumber Party Massacre, which was the driller killer on the front cover with the three girls in their nighties huddled together, three different girls.
That one was significant at the time, I believe, because in the slasher movie, slasher movies that were happening at the time, that one was written and directed by a woman.
Yes.
Which is ironic because, like, when you're seeing parts of it, it's a dude with a drill. Like, there's a scene where, the shot is from between, he's standing over her, and between his legs, he's got the drill pointed down.
Right. I think that's the cover, I believe. It's that, and you can see the three girls.
A woman directed Slumber Party? The first one?
Slumber Party. I'm pretty sure woman directed the first Sorority, and the think Slumber Party 2 and 3 were also directed by women. And I think that covers, all the women. But it was mostly directed by women, the Slumber Party.
That is shocking.
Well, I think that was part of the reason why that she did. It was an Amy something, if I remember her name. I can't remember. But it was the idea that, you know, these movies got a reputation for being misogynistic.
Yes.
So then, you know, it's like, well, a woman will do it. And she makes a misogynistic horror movie.
Right. I mean, originally written as sort of more satire than what it ended up, but something happened during filming where they just went straight for the misogyny and the usual slasherness of it.
Yeah.
So
production company.
Yeah, probably.
Wonder what came first, was Body Double or Slumber Party Massacre? Because if you remember Body, were you here for that episode? Mm-hmm. There's a shot where it's the exact same shot with the drill. Like there's the girl and it's framed up by the guy's legs, you know, standing over her, and then the drill coming down from the top of the screen. Yeah, that was 84.
I think Slumber was 82 maybe. It was I think it was early 80s. It may have also been 84. I'm not sure. It was early, around the same time.
I think the first Sorority was 84.
I think so.
Interesting.
84, 86, but they're all early 80s and stuff like that. But this was definitely I mean, it's hard to put this one on cable when you have women running around in
They're
well, Cinemax. Was it the USA Up All Night?
Yeah,
before that, probably.
Yeah,
right?
I would think so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this is one of the ones. A, the cover attracts you, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it just being like, we'd probably at that point, we'd seen one. It was this me and my brother. Me and my brother Ryan are always the ones who like ventured to the video store to find something new in the horror aisle, because we just go there every other day and grab something new, shitty movies, good movies, mm-hmm. what have you. Whatever looked cool on the box art, we grabbed it and took it home and watched. So that's where I came into contact with this one. Like I said, we'd seen the first one before. And the first one, The Sorority House Massacre, isn't really a good movie. It's kind of, from what I remember, I mean, comparatively, especially to this one, it's a little boring. Mm. And also people have noticed it's kind of a ripoff of Halloween. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got the same storyline. Brother tries to murder his sister. She goes to the mental hospital, gets out, and then starts having dreams or memories, remembering all the stuff he did, and then he comes back and kills all her friends and goes after her again.
Because she's staying in a sorority house. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes in. She's staying with her friends at a sorority house.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sorority house she stays at is actually her childhood home where the murders happened.
Yep. That's why the flashbacks are coming back. And
everything.
Yeah.
But that first Sorority House Massacre has literally nothing to do with this one.
Because this movie is a sequel to Slumber Party Massacre.
Indeed. Wait.
Because Slumber Party Massacre also did have a sequel, correct?
It did. But a sequel that I think had nothing to do. The sequel, Slumber
Party
Massacre
2. Sorority House Massacre.
Well, the sequel to Slumber Party Massacre is it's the rock and roll sequel. It's like the rock and roll version of Slumber Party Massacre. I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. I mean, maybe I do. But on the cover it's a dude with a guitar, and at the end of the guitar is the drill. Surrounded by the women.
I remember there was a movie called Driller Killer also at some point back then too. I remember the VHS era was the video stores, the horror aisle where I spent a significant amount of my time also.
Where we're raised.
Was, based on these covers, these fantastic, like painted or drawn covers, which promised you awesome, awesome thing. I mean, I remember I think like Jim Wynorski, I thought he did like Deathstalker 2.
I have
the
a list.
The reason that I think that is because like that movie has a fantastic like Boris Vallejo cover or something like that. These fantasy people standing there, and then when you see the movie, it's like filmed in the desert outside of outside of Los Angeles or whatever.
1987, Deathstalker 2, Jim Wynorski. I'm gonna give you just the highlights of his directorial efforts. We'll start out with
where's Return of Swamp Thing? That was 88.
It is 89. It says in here, Chopping Mall. He directed Chopping Mall.
All right. Yep.
Return of Swamp Thing in 89. Sorority House Massacre 2 in 90. Hard to Die, also in 1990, which is technically, it was released under three titles: Tower of Terror, Hard to Die, and Sorority House Massacre 3. All it is, it's basically the same storyline as part two, except in a high rise. It's got Orville Ketchum in it, and Orville Ketchum, and a bunch of women in lingerie running around a skyscraper getting murdered.
Nice. Interesting.
Basically the same storyline.
Wait, did he do Sorceress? Is that, that would be 83?
He did 976 Evil 2.
Oh, get the fuck out.
The Astral Factor, yes. Wait, here we go. We got more. He did Ghoulies 4.
Oh, man.
The next year, he did Sorceress in 1995. He did The Wasp Woman. He did a lot of Roger Corman, produced a lot of his movies. Roger Corman produced this one, too. Vampirilla.
The one with Talia? She was a James Bond girl. She was in License to Kill. Talissa or Talia something?
I don't know.
Damn. She was Vampirilla, I think. Did it ever come out? I don't know if it did.
I don't know. What else? Now we're just going to skip to the ones I think I know. The Bear Wench Project in 2000. That was a staple of my childhood. Cheerleader Massacre, which Nick mentioned earlier. Busty Cops. Busty Cops Go Hawaiian.
Hey, I've seen that on Skidamax a couple times.
Yeah, so have I.
The Witches of Breastwick.
Oh, I've seen that.
Does he do, oh, no. Does it, he do the hills have thighs?
It gets better. It gets better. Cleavage Field.
Oh, the Cloverfield.
The Cloverfield one.
I've seen that one.
Paranocker's Activity.
And these aren't porn, right? These are
no.
Like,
these are the
softcore.
All the softcore Skinamax ones. Dino Croc versus Super Gator.
Well, everybody does one of those. Yeah.
Camel Spiders. And one of my personal favorites we've mentioned before, Piranaconda.
Really?
Piranaconda. And I, in looking up his directorial efforts, I happen to notice that I have a 2-degree separation from this director on 2 counts.
Shut up.
Actually. I have worked with 2 actresses who have starred in 2 of his films.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sean.
I know. I am just 2 degrees away from this master director.
Wow. So there's a theme that I'm picking up through.
You have to find Orville.
Right?
He's like Orville the Yule Bowl of skin flicks.
Right. Yeah. He is. And that's just the highlights, folks. He's done tons more.
Tons of stuff.
Big Bad Mama 2, Deathstalker 2, like you said. Transylvania Twist, Munchie.
No, Munchies? I remember that.
Not Munchies, just Munchie.
I think that's the one. It has like a little...
It's like a little doll-looking guy. But
yeah, but he's looking up some woman's skirt on the cover of it. Yeah. Okay, so this movie, I mean, it was initially confusing to me because there's a flashback scene shortly into the movie, and it's like, what the fuck? This is why we're saying it is a legit sequel to Slumber Party Massacre.
Kind of.
Because they recap the end of that movie in this movie.
But they re... But Hochstetter? That's not Hochstetter.
Like, that's the name of the killer?
That's the name of the killer that they assigned to the drill killer from Slumber Party Massacre, but that's not who that is or was in the movie.
So they reshot it?
No. They just chopped up Slumber Party Massacre for the flashbacks and just renamed everybody. That's not Hochstetter with the drill.
So they just grabbed what they had in the archives.
Yeah. I mean, it's got Roger Corman had to have produced those movies as well, because these were all released at some point as well on a DVD where they throw in Slumber Party Massacre and then all the Sorority House Massacres.
Oh.
Where they put them all together. So there's got to be ownership combined there. But yeah, they just grabbed Slumber Party Massacre, renamed the characters in it for the flashback, and now we have Hochstetter. That's why you don't need to watch part one, because it has nothing to do with part two.
So I was okay then, just coming into this blind. I don't feel like I missed anything.
No, you did not. It was all made up right there.
So this movie, like the earliest scene where it kind of announces where it's going, there's a group of college girls.
College-aged,
yes. Okay, there's a lot of air quotes going on here. College-aged girls who move into this old sorority house, which was apparently the site of a massacre, a slaughter years before, committed by this fellow named Hochstetter.
Hochstetter, yep.
And their neighbor comes over, and this is some grimy-looking, the least emotive actor, like, probably that ever lived, whose real name, I assume, is Orville...
Catch him.
Rittenbacker.
Well, that's got to be his stage name. I don't know.
It's not his real name.
Okay. He's played by the guy we figured out. It's the guy from, he's the abusive dad in Freddy's Dead.
Yes.
Okay. So he comes over and tells the girls the history of the story. We get the flashback. And then he's like, well, if you're staying here, you're probably going to need this. He reaches down, deep down into the front of his pants and comes out with the keys and throws them to her. I'm like, okay, that's what this movie
is. This is what this movie is going to be.
Yeah.
And then the girls go, ooh, the keys are still warm.
So we got a bunch of nubile young women.
Yes, who, I mean, over the course of moving into their new sorority house that they have to repaint, there's no lights, there's no phone, candles everywhere.
The goddamn refrigerator door is open. They just leave it open.
All the time.
Throw me nuts. I'm like, come on. You're wasting electricity. Oh,
they don't have electricity.
Right.
In this dilapidated sorority house.
In a very well-lit house without electricity.
Really? Yeah, right? Where's all that light coming from?
This is a movie lights. Where, like, everybody's using flashlights, but clearly they don't need them.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And they find a Ouija board. Do they venture to the basement?
That's where they find the bloody doll.
The bloody doll.
Well, they find like the tools or whatever.
Yes.
The tool, again, air quotes, the murder implements of Orville Redenbacher. Yeah. Like, left, they were in the attic, right? No, they're in the basement.
The sex toys were in the attic.
Yeah.
Yeah, sex toys in the attic, murder toys in the basement.
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah. And this is the guy, Orville.
Catch him.
Says, yeah, you should just be able to get that.
Yeah, catch him. Amityville. Yeah, catch him, kill him. Yeah. Yeah. You should have this.
Yeah. So he says that he was hired because he's a neighbor. He lived next door.
Right.
And he was hired to take care of the property.
The real estate agents paid him to look after it and tell him if anything was happening.
But clearly he didn't do a goddamn thing because the inside of this place is still semi-decorated by the previous tenant. Like, yes. There's a picture on the wall hanging there crooked. There's shit all over
boxes and papers and everything all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes.
He cleaned up the blood because he's the guy who found the original victims and cleaned up after it. But, like, the walls are still covered with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah. He breathes like an asthmatic.
Yes.
Asthmatic?
He's very large helmet.
Yeah.
He eats raw meat.
Nope.
While watching slasher movies.
This is number two in our raw meat trilogy. We need to find a third one. We've got Lenora.
Oh, right. Yeah,
we've got Lenora. We've got Sorority House Massacre 2. We need to find a third one to complete it.
Where characters sit around eating raw meat because that's cool to do. If you're not doing it, kids, you're doing it wrong.
It gives your character. Yeah. Don't sit there eating raw meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's not too long after this that the best moments in this movie occur.
They find a Ouija board.
Nope, that's not the.
I'm leading us there.
See, there we go.
We want to get to the best part of the movie. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's like 20 minutes in, and I'm like, "Come on, Sean! I mean, it's called Sorority House Massacre. I mean, for God's sakes!" But sure enough, at this point, every single girl in this five girls.
Yeah.
It dedicates some lovingly shot moments of them disrobing, taking like showers.
Frontal.
Yeah. You can see why it made an impression on me as a child.
Taking showers together, but it was damn close.
Yeah.
Giving each other massages.
Squeaky.
Squeak toys, breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Sound effects in this movie are great.
There's a girl in the shower using a bar of soap, and as she goes over her large, you know, breasts, there's the squeaky noise.
Squeak.
Yeah.
Squeak.
Yeah, squeaky clean. And then, I mean, that seems like that goes on for like 5 glorious minutes, I think.
Indeed,
like,
it does.
Until they all put on their 90s and then gather around to play the Ouija board. So, Holly. So, this is exactly what sorority life is like, right?
Well, I was never in a sorority, so I can't attest to
this
that.
This is what dorm life is like.
Do this, you want the truth?
This happens every once in a while.
She's going to break her. She's going to break her.
Do you want the truth?
No.
All right. So it happens all the time. Yep.
Let's just say I've been doing slumber party wrongs my whole life. Like, just wrong. All wrong. I had no idea.
Damn. No tickle fights?
Yeah, there was a tickle fight in this movie. Yep. And they just kind of hang out in 90s and thongs and just barely clothing.
For the rest of the movie.
Oh, yes. The whole glorified movie.
The whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
going up, going upstairs multiple times.
Yep. Yes. So poor Holly had to watch this movie like in the company of men. Because this is clearly like, hey, movie.
In the company of men, my time on the Saturday night. Copyright 2016.
Yeah. There was actually, I was wondering what they were, because that became, for me, the focus of the movie was just like, I'm like, okay, this is the audience, you know, as, you know, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of the filmmaker who's making this, right? And it's like, okay, so it's a slasher movie, so we'll have some gore, but they didn't have, obviously, like, any money to do real effects.
Or at least to hide it off camera, anyway.
Yeah, there's a squirt bottle with the, you know, that comes in from bottom frame as they're spraying down the walls and stuff like that. Just hit him in the face with blood, you know, you can hear the guy yelling. But the idea that, like, okay, so we had the 5 nude scenes all together, then once they get dressed, it's like, what, how are we going in the teddies and the 90s and stuff like that?
99.
How are we going to keep the audience's interest for the rest of this movie? Because then they're going to get stalked by a killer and those 90s aren't probably coming off again. So what do you do? How do you solve that problem?
You shoot from every conceivable angle that a camera can fit.
No, no, no. They went to the fucking strip club.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. There's like a 20-minute strip club scene.
Yeah, for no fucking reason.
No reason.
This is plot B, the B plot. Right?
They could have gone and knocked on this girl's door, but no.
No, the bridge was out. What are you talking about?
All right, so you got to set this up. What are we talking about? So,
I mean, we
the
end
cops.
Up.
Let's talk about the cops.
Yeah, in the middle of all this, it cuts to a scene. A cop car pulls up in the rain. There's a cop standing out front waving people down. Two police officers get out, two detectives.
One of them played by, was it the gaffer?
The one of them. Yeah, one of them.
A lot of people shared double duty on this movie, according to the credits. At least they had a sense of humor in the credits.
What was his name? Rom or
Jargon?
Jargon.
Jürgen
Rom. Jürgen Rom or something. Yeah, Jürgen. yeah, the two police officers get out and explain that the they,
which is weird. It's a mother. Sorry, it's a father daughter policeman combo, but they look like they're the same.
No. He called like he. She calls him dad because he's old.
Yeah.
It's like, I wasn't there, dad. Like, you know, you're old.
Yeah. So I took it dad. That dad. I'm like, what the fuck?
There's a lot of confusing daughter-father stuff going on. Because we had earlier in the movie.
Yeah, the boyfriend.
The boyfriend, yeah. Colin was like, wait, I thought that was her dad.
Yeah, because she goes, dad. she goes, daddy.
Yeah. I think his name was
his
Eddie.
Name was Eddie.
Eddie. Yeah, so and you thought it sounded like daddy. Yeah.
Who never made another appearance.
It sounds very similar. Yeah, but that guy had to be like, I mean, like, because you think, like, these are, I don't think, professional actors, right?
Can't be.
And he's in the credits because at the beginning, like, they're mentioning everybody, and then it's like, and Mike so-and-so as Eddie. And you're like, well, he must have, like, you know, some role here. This guy pulls up. The girls get out of the truck, and he's like, okay, babe, I'll see you later. She comes over, and then, you know, whatever. He gives him a kiss that lasts for, like, a minute and a half.
No movement, just two faces together.
Yeah. And I'm like, this guy had to be sitting there going, like, if this is what acting is like, sign me up. I'm coming back for this every day.
All right.
This is the job for me going forward.
And then he probably never had another job.
Well, maybe. Yep. So the cops.
The cops.
They
pull up to the other cop. They're in the rain. You infer through their dialogue that there was a disturbance call from somebody at the old Hochstetter place.
You know where that call came from? Came from the old Hochstetter
the
place.
House.
I never told you this, but there was a terrible murder that happened there, and the guy, we caught him. No, he's dead. No, we don't know if he's dead or not. He may still be alive.
He's dead, but we suspect that the neighbor across the street had something to do with the murders as well, but I could never pin it on him.
So we're trying to figure out where the call came from?
Yeah, because there was no working phone in the house.
Well, it was later on, there's a phantom phone call. So yes. I'm thinking it's like a phantom phone call that originally called.
We're going to have to double back to the Ouija board segment, which may...
because the phantom call is
kind of light to this or
oh,
not.
Oh, that's true.
Shed some light on it or not. Okay, so we try to map out like what exactly the cop's plot line was. They receive a distress call from the house that something's going on. We got to get over there. They try to drive there in the storm and rain, but the bridge is out.
Fortunately, there's a cop protecting the construction site for some reason.
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't want to just drive through all that and go over a bridge.
Exactly. Sure. This is what they do. Cops are out to help everybody.
Clearly.
So they basically turn around and drive off to a strip club where this girl named Candy is performing. And Candy, it turns out, is the sole survivor of the original massacre. But we're not sure if she was
sister.
Actually in the other movie.
Yeah.
Which movie?
Well, I don't think
Sorority
she was
House
in Slumber.
Slumber Party Massacre.
I don't think she was in either. Maybe she was in Slumber. I don't think she was in either.
Right. Okay. But she gets to do her strip club or routine.
Yes,
like
her full routine.
Her pole routine. The full thing.
The pole routine, yeah.
And then she has to come down and talk to the cops. So another girl gets to come out and dance on the stage. So, I mean, like, they're trying to keep your interest.
Yes.
Yeah, they show her just long enough for her to take her shirt off and then find out what Candy has to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Expertly
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
Well staged.
And then, so what do they find out there? What pertinent information did Candy give them?
Nothing. I mean, they go there to question Candy again about the murders because the cop really wants to, like, get Ketchum.
Yeah. Do you remember Ketchum ever being there? Think hard.
He could have been.
Like, no, but now that you mention it.
He
was wandering around the neighborhood.
He does live in a house.
Yeah.
That's as far as that went.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Candy.
Very
We're
going
to leave
scene.
Now. And they leave, and they go to
That's it.
That's until it. They show up in the morning.
That's it until they show up with the SWAT team.
Yeah.
It was a pivotal plot point.
Yeah.
But without his partner at the end there.
Oh, yeah.
That's just right. Yeah. Loses like, the partner.
Yeah, so yeah. She must have been just contracted for it was really the strip club scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so. All right, so then we got a double bag to the Ouija board.
Ah, yes.
Scene, sequence.
So after they've all.
After they've all changed.
For, they've changed for bed.
Into something more comfortable.
Mm, yeah. Indeed. That was
like thongs.
That's how it works.
Naturally.
It looks much more comfortable.
No.
Hey, that's how I picture.
There wasn't one of them that just like, you know what, I like to sleep naked. Not one of those girls.
I was disappointed. There's a little bit of a missing opportunity.
Sure.
So they.
Do you want me to tell you what they would actually be wearing, or should we skip
no,
over that?
No,
yeah. Okay, just thought I'd throw it out there.
We're not doing
just
that.
Just thought I'd throw it out there.
This is a happy place. This is a nice place.
You're safe,
we
Sean.
We want to keep it that way.
You're safe here. It's a
safe place. Ouija board.
The Ouija board.
We'll get there.
They try to summon, because of course you do, if you're in a house where one of the girls, not Squeaky, not Jiggly, not Thigh Gap, which one
not,
is
not
it?
British.
Not, yeah.
Not British.
She was like she Australian, Australian or something.
She
it
is British.
Accent.
I looked it up. She's British. Gail okay. Harris. She's British.
Very strange accent.
Yeah.
But here. One of them knows about the history of the house.
Jeannie.
The one that purchased the house Jeannie. For the sorority.
There's Jeannie, Kim, Susie, Linda,
Jessica.
And Jessica.
Listener, you may get the idea that we are just trying to figure this damn thing out as we're talking about it. It's very true. Hopefully, maybe you already have it figured out, or we're shedding light on this as we work this thing out. Okay, so Jeannie.
Yes.
With the dark hair.
Jeannie with the dark brown hair.
Conducts the suggests the seance at the whatever the Ouija board that we're going to try and summon Hofstadter.
Yeah,
Hoffmansters.
The killer.
Yeah, that guy.
All right, so I remember, you know, it's the standard Ouija board stuff. Right. The planchette starts flying all over the
place. I'm not moving it. Are you moving it? I'm not moving it.
I swear.
Typical, yeah.
Also the best line delivery in a movie I have seen
Fantastic.
In a long time. Every cliche line that was ever written ever is in this movie.
And it's such wonderful. As?
Get a room.
Yeah.
You guys,
those two.
Get a room.
Room. Get a room. Give me a break. Everything in between.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God. The acting. We should have looked up. You should have found out if any of these people worked together. Wynorski probably hired him for something.
I think he hired a few of them directly to Hard to Die. A few of the characters show up again, along with Orville Ketchum.
My brother did confirm at least a couple of them are porn stars that he's heard of. So. Oh, sure.
There you go.
I think their career did go in some direction.
Like to actual hardcore porn or like Playboy hustler type stuff?
I didn't ask my brother that.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Skin.
So.
Ouija board.
What they get out of the Ouija board. I just remember.
They got a name. They got a name.
Oh, that's right. Colin shows up.
Colin!
Significance of this spirit?
Colin, ew.
Colin.
What a horrible joke.
Yeah. What was the significance of that character?
I don't think there was one.
Yeah,
it's
they,
just a name.
Did they say why?
Somehow Colin? They need a guide to
they
take
need a
them
guide,
to the spirit
yes.
world?
Yes.
Like a spirit guide to connect them to
so
the
So they need
other
to
spirit.
Contact a spirit before they can contact a spirit. Is basically what they're doing. And Colin is their spirit guide.
I don't get that at all. But
no.
Hey, man, what do you know about Ouija's?
Hey, man, whose name was it?
Hey.
Boom.
They needed you, Colin.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, a lot of scantily clad.
This movie
clad
was calling for you, yeah.
Scantily clad Ouija. By the way,
sisters do.
If there's any sororities listening out there in the podcast, please send pictures to
Saturday Night Freak Show. Yahoo.com.
You're going to get 50 pictures of a Ouija board. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, so
Ouija board.
Ouija board. They summon Hofstadter. Does he talk to them at that point? I don't think he does. They say they want to talk to Hofstadter, and Colin throws the planchette into the fireplace where it explodes.
Yes.
Explodes. Then they go to bed.
And that was explained by science.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
the lightning.
Yeah, there was an electrical charge or something.
Science.
Yeah,
science.
We don't actually see this happen, but Yeah, maybe the house was hit by lightning and the charge. Well, there is a lot of stock lightning shots in this movie.
There are.
I think I've seen used before.
Yes, those have been in other movies. Probably a Dracula movie somewhere.
Every transition shot was lightning.
Yeah.
So then they go to bed, as you do. They all, you know, have their own slumber, sleeping bags.
And tickle fight.
There was a tickle fight, and there was a massage that took place, which I was very disappointed by because one of them blew it and said that she had slept with the other girl's boyfriend.
Well, before that, we had the greatest massage sound effect in cinema history, where she's pushing on her and then back at you. Like a break of some sort. She broke her bone. Like,
oh, yeah, that, right in there. Yeah.
She's like, oh, somebody you got punched it. Punched
on a chip. That was it. She got it.
Broke something.
Yeah. And then they end up fighting.
Yeah.
Would you guys be happy to know that sometimes massages do happen at slumber parties?
Okay.
That's all right.
You're welcome. You're welcome, friends.
Oh, got quiet.
Yeah.
Pondering that.
I'll take it from here.
All right.
So
Susie is like, yeah, I'm dating Bill.
Was her name Susie?
Susie, yeah.
Squeaky?
Susie was the one with the shoulder pads. The short one.
Oh, the Australian?
No, this really short one. The one we were looking at him compared to the other girl.
That was Squeaky.
That was Susie.
God damn it. Yeah.
The one with the squeaky nipples.
No, that was Kim.
That was
Kimberly.
That was the one that looked like Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had the one. Did she? Laura Dern was Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Kim. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Susie's the one who's like, I'm dating Bill now. But wait, Bill, me and Bill had a thing. And
She's massaging her and basically tells her she fucked her boyfriend.
Yeah. What did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong?
I didn't mean it.
So then Jeannie is all disturbed by this. And she's like, where's that bottle of tequila? Yeah. Why? Because I need a drink. Slam. She goes down to the kitchen and has the most posed drinking scene I have ever seen in my life. She's like sexily leaning against the bar, taking like sensual swills from the tequila bottle. Mm-hmm. It's
like
something.
Four of them.
Yeah.
Four pulls. Like pull, wait, swallow, pull.
It's like, I want you to look sexy while you do this.
Yeah.
And boy, did she try.
The idea that you're just going to use one of these in the editing, but this guy just used
through her lacy see-through.
Right. Yeah. That's a teddy, right?
No.
No? What's a teddy?
Which one was wearing a teddy?
A teddy.
The black thing.
A teddy is more of like a flowy one.
Is that what the pink one was?
Yeah.
The pink one was kind of, but that was kind of a jumper because it was like one piece with shorts. So it was more of a romper.
Okay.
Romper,
jumper, and a teddy. All right.
No, I don't think anyone wearing a teddy.
Damn it all to hell. Okay.
It was just kind of it was more like a unitard kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was one piece see-through thong.
Thong back.
Yes.
The thing we all wear to bed, naturally.
Yeah. So this is where our first murder scene happens. Mm. We don't see the assailant.
No.
Somebody with a hook.
And a black gloved hand.
Yep. Comes in and slashes poor
pulls our
Penelope.
The open bar. The
Janet.
Open counter.
Jenny.
Jenny.
Damn it, Janet.
Or Janie.
And that's where we get the squirt of the ketchup.
Yeah.
All over the wall, which isn't there for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because multiple characters come downstairs after this, and the kitchen is completely clean.
Except for the bottle that's smashed on the carpet.
Yeah.
Semantics.
So we're thinking at this point, or we're supposed to think. Oh, wait, you're with us on this, right? Aren't you, listener? That at this point, there's this, we keep cutting to outside the house where Ketchum, Orville Ketchum in his plaid, is heavy breathing, you know, and always stepping into frame and looking through windows and basically looking like a zombie. It
constantly creeping, yes.
Yeah. I think it's something about, like, because he has his mouth open all the time and you can see his teeth. Yeah. He'll just kind of, yeah, well. Personal thing. So, yeah. So, did Orville Ketchum sneak in at this point and stab this poor woman to death with a hook?
Maybe.
And why a hook, Sean?
I mean, because that's what you did back in the day. That was your, that's what you did. You had a hook.
It's the quintessential scary story.
No other reason than there were a bunch of hooks in the basement. That's it.
Yeah.
But you just thought, hey, this looks cool. Let's have him get killed with a hook.
The first movie had a driller killer.
First movie had a drill killer.
It's a step down.
Yeah.
The other first killer, I think, just used knives. And
the sorority one, it was just a knife.
Well, what's a good like sorority? Like, if you were to remake this movie, what would you corkscrew
for wine bottles and shit?
Yeah,
because
they're laying around all over sororities. Well,
you know,
that's like a drill and a knife put together.
Can you get an automatic one? The rabbit.
I'm sorry.
You ever seen anything? The rabbit. It like grabs onto the wine bottle and
wasn't the rabbit I was thinking of.
No.
Drills down into the thing.
It drills down into it.
That's not the rabbit I was thinking of.
Wine bottle opener.
I would love to see the movie where they get killed with that though.
And you
like their heads explode from pleasure.
And the drill and the spinner goes straight down.
10 minute long death scenes.
Pull it back like that and it pops right out.
Yeah, but is it like? Does it, is it automatic? Like, does it, the auger, does it, like, battery operated or whatever?
Well, it's not battery operated. Once you move the arms down, it shoots right down into it.
And kill someone with that?
You're still talking about the rabbit?
See, my automatic one, you just, like, stick it on there.
Wait, are you talking about a wine bottle?
That's some seriousness.
Or
see,
whatever.
Now they catch up.
Yeah.
Now they're there.
Which story do you want?
Which
my wine bottle opener from Food Network.
All right, so in quick succession, then who gets
Genies first? Who's next? Who's this? I think Susie's
the
next.
Bear trap.
There's a bear trap. There's a bear trap in the attic. They go up to the attic, check
that's
it out.
Armed and ready to catch. Are,
you know, I mean, what? Catch them left those up there because they've got a mice problem.
A mouse and a bear trap.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
New York rats have made their way to
probably. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
That's the only reason I can explain a bear trap in the attic of this place that would catch mice.
Okay.
Maybe it's part of the S&M chamber upstairs. You know, pain, severe pain.
We're gonna break legs.
We've gone past whips. We're just going to bear traps now.
All right.
It could be a thing. I'm sure it's a thing.
I didn't see that in 50 Shades.
Oh, no. That wasn't in the red room.
Saving that for the sequel. I don't even remember how she gets killed.
She gets bear trap,
and then he just drags her away.
That's right. She's screaming for like 10 minutes, right. And no one else in the house.
This house is not big, by the way.
They all split up so they can find the first girl for a reason I don't recall or understand.
They keep splitting
up. We have to go find Jenny. Why? Aren't we all supposed to be sleeping? Whatever. We got to go find her. So they split up. Two girls go up to the attic, one leaves, she gets caught in the bear trap, or she goes up to the attic, gets caught in the bear trap, screams bloody murder because her leg's fucking broken, and then no one hears this, but the killer shows up, grabs her, drags her off.
And kills her in shadow, because you only see the shadow. Yes. Yeah, two of them go up, she dies. Then more searching of the house. We have Linda, who's walking around. Who else? Linda, Jessica, and Kim is still, they're hanging out.
Okay, so at this point, somewhere around here, again, going back to my theory that you have to add this element of boobage to the movie because, again, we had the full nudity, we had the strip club nudity. Like, what are we going to do at this point? Because now we're into the plot, we're heading toward the final stretch.
What t-shirt contest?
We gotta send them outside in a fucking rainstorm.
The three remaining freak out. They find the bodies in the basement because they went down to the basement to check it out again. They find Jeannie and Susie hanging from, you know, the rafters.
A
bleeding.
Great scene where the Aussie,
the Brit. Screams
like
bad.
Yeah,
she's
it's
not
like
a
when
good
she, like,
she's
drips like, of blood coming, get, you know, dropping on her. She's like, oh, the pipes are leaking. She looks up. Shines a flashlight. There's bodies hanging there. And then she sits underneath like this torrent of blood.
It's going in her mouth and she's screaming. And she just stands there.
Not a high pitched screamer.
Not at all.
So they what?
Glorious.
It really was. Gets her all bloody. And they run up to the kitchen, and they're freaking out because their friends are dead, and they're just grabbing.
Oh, they
the
were
big...
saying something, I think, before they went out in the rain or something, where I actually thought like they were gonna say like, oh, because they have to leave, and they said something about their clothes are in the.
Yes, our clothes are still upstairs.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, you know, your clothes are dirty now with blood. You got to take those off in order to. Was that just me? Well, maybe I was just thinking
that. That seems more into parody where they'd be like, oh, I've gotten come bloody.
In this movie? I don't think you have to push too far, you know. For this.
There's a thin line, my friend, yeah. And they weren't going to cross it. They have not. Some class, okay? Give them a little bit. Give them a little bit of leeway on that.
Yeah. So they run outside into the torrential rain.
With where huge butter knives.
I swear to God, there is a gutter that has broken or something. We don't see this, but there is like a downspout aimed right at one of the girls' heads. Because you could just clearly see like.
She's drowning.
Yeah. She's drowning. And but they stop because they're in the
50 miles away
of the storm, you know, the lightning. You can see Orville Ketchum standing across the street,
staring. And they won't chance it because they don't think they can outrun him.
This is three girls, armed with, like, I mean, these are like machete knives.
They really are. And they won't chance it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity to leave in this movie. Like, they could just run out the front door, especially when later on, as after they freak out and are drenched from the wet t-shirt contest and go back well, yeah, inside.
Because they did run out the front door, but Orville.
But Orville was there.
He yeah. was there, and then shuffling carts and like a 79-year-old man.
It was an Austin Powers joke. Yeah. Or a Deadpool joke at this point. You're going to die in like 5 minutes. They run back inside and they're freaking out and they're just hearing all the sounds from outside.
Because he's then, like just tapping on the windows.
Right. He's just pounding on stuff, walking around in the windows and everything. And they hear like clanking and they're like, it's the guy. He's shimmering the fountain thing, the gutter.
He's climbing up the drain pipe.
He's climbing the drain pipe.
Because that 400-pound man is shimmying up the drain pipe.
Hey, whoa. He was 300 pounds, according to the cops. True. 300 pounds.
Sorry.
But instead.
You can totally shimmy that. No.
Instead of letting him shimmy up. And running away, they go upstairs because I didn't lock the windows. He could get in. And so upstairs they go, giving us one of a couple gratuitous shots of the scantily clad women.
Because they made sure to keep the camera rolling, so each one of them ran up the stairs.
They each all had their scene going up the stairs. Had to make sure to get that, because again, like you said, you've got to keep them interested at this point.
Yep.
Put them in the rain, get them wet,
my show interest them going up the stairs.
Is that what you... Interest? Okay.
So all three of them get up there, then for some reason... Oh, because they see that there's wet footprints on the floor.
Yes.
So now they have to split up again.
Well, they make the joke like, that's when they see the chamber and all the S&M stuff. And they're like, Hochstetter must have been beating it in here, I think was the thing, or must have had a good time beating it in here.
Spanking
in here. And Jessica turns to them and looks at them.
Kimberly.
Jessica. Jessica's the one who turns and goes, yes, he did.
Oh, that Kimberly was the Laura Dern looking one.
Yes. Kimberly was the short haired Laura Dern.
It was a very odd line reading because I took it as like, so she's been here before?
She's possessed.
Yeah.
She is possessed at that point.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very knowing, confusing.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like, where are they going with this?
Actually, no, there was something else that tipped me off. It was earlier.
It's when they're laying in the sleeping bags.
No. There was a scene. Well, maybe it was for you. For me, there was a scene where I think Orville is coming through a door. He's like busting through a door. No, there was something before that. It was like you see him. Like, and they show him, but then when they, and then that girl runs into a room and gets killed by someone with the hook, and you don't see, like, they purposely don't show you who that character is. And it's like, oh, okay, you're trying to hide that.
Right.
This guy, Orville, is going to end up being, like, trying to.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. He's actually trying to save them, but he's not mobile, he's mute,
and apparently. Not articulate, yeah.
Except when he's yelling in Kimberly's face.
Kimberly!
Yeah.
And scares the shit out of her.
Like, use your words, Orville.
That's so it does turn out that dear Erica. Not Kimberly. Kimberly's dead in the, bathtub, right?
Kimberly gets killed in the bathtub.
Because they split up. Because she's like, right. You have to stay
up Jessica's
here.
Like, you stay here. I will go find her.
Yeah.
And
stay
help her.
In the attic by yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
So Linda stays up there. And then
I thought it was Jessica.
Jessica's the one who turned and said, yes, he has. Mm. She was the second one in the shower.
She's the one who's possessed by the spirit of Orville Kekenmeyer.
Yes. Indeed.
I feel like our confusion is not far from how it was probably on the set.
Lester Hoffenbetter.
George Cocknocker.
Welfer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So wait, she goes, they leave. Linda stays up in the attic. And that's when I think Orville makes his appearance in the house and goes into the attic as Linda's hiding behind the boxes and everything, as you know,
with her machete.
With her machete, as Orville kind of Frankensteins his way through the thing, like, yeah. Mm-hmm, doom, mm-hmm. Doom, just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she does what any sane, rational person would do and stabs the shit fuck out of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes down, and she's like, "Okay, I did it. I killed him." She wanders down, like, "I got to find my friend." You know, it's okay, he's dead, but then, it's possessed Jessica.
No, you missed it.
What?
She, like, stabs him, and he's dead, and then she's like, oh, it's safe, and she goes to walk by him, and he grabs her, and they and it goes into a wrestling, and she pulls a chain out of nowhere,
yeah.
And just, like, strangles him some more.
It's part of the S&M bundle.
There's, like, a crack or something else, and it's just, like, more sound effects, and then he's out again.
Yeah.
And then she wanders downstairs to look for Kimberly and Jessica, wherever they may have gone.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Oh, you're welcome. There was a second attack. You can't forget that.
Oh, well, if we do all of the attacks on this, we're going to be here for a lot longer.
This guy does not die.
No.
He does not die.
He does not. we're missing one also in between
this
all of that.
This guy is the Mike Myers of this movie.
Kimberly was chased into the bathroom, and then the hook is busting through the door to get her. And then it opens up, and you just see the POV of her, and blackness covers her, which it looked like somebody just covered a light and hung out there.
Yeah.
Then we cut back up to Linda.
It was probably Jürgen.
Jürgen, yes, he was the gaffer. Linda comes down, limping and everything, looking for her. She wanders in the bathroom, finds Kim, because nobody at this point, like, cares if there's blood splattered everywhere or a pool full of blood. They have to investigate everything. They won't just run out of the house and get away.
Right.
They don't want to do that. So she gets Kim would have to, how long could she hold her breath when she's like half dead? Like she was in that tub for
she's
a while.
Dead. Oh yeah, that's right.
She jumps out.
It was a death rattle.
Yeah. She jumps out and
she's
been stripped. Yeah, she's been
stripped
naked at this point.
Well, they'd probably just dissolve in the blood.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, they dissolve. That's how they like they're edible. They're like edible underwear. That's what she was wearing the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, she was just like, these are nice satin. I'm going to take these off first. Yeah, now you can stab me.
Yeah, this is my... Because they shot that scene, like, first. And they're like, we can't damage the, you know, the goods, the wardrobe, as it were.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to take this off. You'll
cheap.
Have to be naked.
Clearly
again.
Not the
we
other
We can't
girl
afford dry cleaning.
Blood just everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. But she death rattles out of the tub, and she goes, Jessica!
Yeah.
And then falls back in.
And every time they show Aussie girl, she has more blood on her shirt. Mm-hmm. From nowhere.
Yeah.
From nowhere. It's just phantom blood.
Well,
indeed.
More and more.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
Because at this point now, you can't have boobs anymore. You just have more and more bodily fluid, blood all over the
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's revealed that Jessica has been possessed by the killer, and she's been actually killing everyone off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you called me here.
Yeah. Yeah. And Orville has actually been trying to save the girls. This whole time.
I won't let you do it again, Hochstatter.
And they wrestled.
Couldn't do it
they
before.
They can do a stabby match. Yeah. Couldn't do it before. But I'm going to stop you now. And then he like stabs her.
Yeah.
Five times as she stands there like this with the hook.
And it's very
nothing.
Polite. Like, I'm going to stab you. Now you stab me. Like, it's very.
All right. No, you do me. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Good form.
There's a lot of people waiting for their cues.
There really is. There really is.
Is it my line? Okay, go.
Right. Or somebody
is there going to be a lightning strike here? I'm going to pause. Lightning strike. And that's what I meant. Yeah.
Somebody.
They're like in freeze mode.
Yeah.
And
somebody
then
added a line at one point. I think one of the cops was talking and he went and ad-libbed a line because you could hear the other detective. She was starting to say.
Oh, yeah.
She was like. He said too much.
South Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. If I remember correctly, so after this, in the morning, you know, like the cops barge in, SWAT teams are yes. taking them like the entire night to navigate their way through the city because the bridge was
oh,
out.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, the reason they show up at all is because the mover has showed up.
Yes.
He found them. The mover found them.
Oh, the mover found them.
Yes.
And then he went and got the police. They weren't going to come on their own. No. He had to go get them.
That's why. That's right. That explains the SWAT team. It's like, I found dead bodies. Come.
That's right. The mover, who was also the gaffer. No, the mover
was the musician. He was the music. He was the music director.
He composed the songs for the movie.
He did all the songs, which were great.
Yeah. But then it turns out that Jessica is... Wait, no. Orville is not dead. He gets back up because... what's her name?
The one with the bad accent, yeah.
Jessica? No.
No, Linda. Jessica's dead. Linda is now.
No, yeah. Brittany.
I don't.
Brittany jumps up and now she's been possessed.
She's British. I like it. Let's go with that.
And
she gives the best possessed laugh I have ever heard.
That... Yeah.
it's the weirdest giggle. Like, because you could
like
tell
borderline Peter Griffin.
Yeah, it was. It was, but you could tell that they used their real voices and just modulated them in post.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She was doing some weird giggle of her own, which made it sound even better when it was slowed down and all.
It wasn't even maniacal. It was like a drunk guy.
it really was.
Yeah.
So she's possessed, and then Orville jumps up. And grabs the detective's gun and just shoots her like 5 times, and she flies backwards into the pile of rubbish and what have you.
And then the cops like shoot the living shit out of Orville. But
like they shoot their shotguns like 12 times. They only hit him twice, but they shoot him like 12 times.
Yeah, and he's down. And then the cops are like, "Wait, somebody call the ambulance." At which point I'm like, "Oh, of course you call the ambulance for the fucking dead guy.
You did it wrong. It wasn't somebody call the ambulance. It was somebody call the ambulance. This man's still alive."
The delivery was spot on, Sean.
I mean, it's a pretty good joke because this guy is like the unkillable Michael Myers.
He really is, but he's not the killer. That's what's great. Yeah. He won't die, but he's not the killer.
He's just the creepy guy across the street that eats raw meat.
Eats raw. Oh boy.
That's it.
And has newspaper clippings of Elvis being alive.
Yeah.
It's like
murders, stabbings, murders, Elvis.
It even says slumber party massacre in one of the paper headlines, I noticed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're tying
seven
together,
die in slumber party massacre or something like that.
Yep. Elvis lives. But he gets shot, and then he's like, he's still alive. And then his eyes are open, and he's looking around, and then the end?
Question mark.
I stole that for a short film that I did in school. I think at the end of one of my things, it was, you know, the end, and then in comes the question mark.
Can you find this movie like on video now, or is this strictly like a YouTube VHS era lost to time?
No, where we're at with this
series,
it was
on like a collection.
It is. I think they're both out of print. I think the last time they were released was 2003.
Mm.
But those DVD collections do exist. The series has left off at the actual Slumber Party Massacre 3, or Sorority House Massacre 3, was shot in, like, 2007, but...
Why wait so long?
Well, I don't know, but then Corman's company folded, his production company, and so that movie is complete and shot and it's ready to go, but has not been released.
And let's face it, it's never going to be.
Oh, God, I hope so one day. Directed by what the fuck?
You can get it on
Jim
Amazon.
Jim Wynorski.
What?
You can get it on Amazon.
The third one? Well, no, but is it the third one or is it the...
Sorority House Massacre 2 on DVD?
Uh-huh.
Or the Slumber Party Massacre Collection?
Yeah.
How many movies does that have on it?
2 minutes.
4? Sorority House 1 and 2 and Slumber Party 1 and 2?
No, I think it's like Slumber Party 1 and then the Sorority House Massacres. I think that was the release in 2003. But yeah, you can find them out there somewhere, but the best place is probably just YouTube. That is where this movie lives. Until Scream Factory releases the Blu-ray one glorious day. One glorious, glorious day.
But do you need to own this collection, listener? Well, stick with us. And we'll tell you in our final thoughts and wrap-ups after we deal with Igor in our mailbag. Igor, where are you?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Igor breathes like Orville Ketchum. Have you noticed that? He's got that lumbering.
Well, he eats raw meat, so.
He does. Is Igor Orville Ketchum?
Travis says, if Igor hasn't finished his plate by the time he returns to the basement, tell him he'll go back to eating his soup with a fork. All right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so.
can you lengthen that silence in post? If we get that longer, I want at least 10 seconds.
Sure, right?
If we can.
All right. So, again, you can go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show and leave us a comment. We'll read it on the air. For Slumber House, Jesus. So
as you can tell, we'll read anything on the air.
Yeah. Sorority House Massacre. Bobette Georgie writes in.
Bobette, how you doing?
Judging from all the boobage and lingerie in the photo that we posted, I can't imagine why it is one of Sean's favorites.
Oh, thank you.
And Travis writes his wrap-up from Beyond the Pod.
Oh.
He says, so last night I had a double feature of Sorority House Massacre 1 and 2, ooh, and boy is my brain tired. First, the opening flashback.
So is his hand.
Wicked burn.
Ow. Thank you. Shut it down. Turn off the recording now.
Drop the mic. Podcast over.
So he says, first, the opening flashback in part two from the first Slumber Party Massacre threw me for a loop. I had to stop to be sure I wasn't watching Slumber Party Massacre 2, especially when Orville looks at newspapers that say Slumber Party Massacre.
Yep.
All in all, watching this made me feel like Orville Ketchum looks a little grungy. Oh, all in all, watching this makes me feel like Orville Ketchum looks a little grungy.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
This movie makes Friday the 13th Part 5 look classy.
Oh,
I can't in good conscience recommend this. Recommend it. All right. Well, thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
I'm sure he'll be back next week.
Yes. We laughed at your joke off the air, Travis. I just want to say that.
There you go.
We did.
Okay, so that, we're all going to go around the room.
Yeah, that leaves
and
to wrap-ups. And the first four wrap-ups is Colin.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is I guess the question you have to ask yourself is, can you recommend this movie to another person?
That is the very basic question we ask here.
Yeah, because I did have fun watching it. In the level of, like, it's a mystery science theater movie, right? I mean, it's got enough, really, the nudity does become, like, what you're really looking at it for, because the slasher part of it, which is, I guess, the other half of the slasher movie coin, is, like, gory deaths and bare breasts. We got a lot of bare breasts. We got very few gory deaths, or nothing, makeup effects really to write home about.
I like that. Gory deaths and bare breasts. My life growing up in a video store.
And some gory breasts.
And some gory breasts. You tried that once with Ilsa, and I'm not for that. I don't want gory breasts.
I thought that was one of the lesbian vampires.
No, Ilsa was the one who was like nudity and hardcore, like pain. Yeah. It was just like, they're combining.
Yeah.
Two things that don't taste good together. Just,
chocolate
and peanut butter, these are not.
The acting is beyond terrible, but I think almost, you know, it's they're aware of it. The filmmakers are. They didn't care.
They didn't care.
That's why they put the gaffer in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the credits are full of fake names.
Oh, it's wonderful. Stay and watch the credits for this movie. It's wonderful.
Yeah, no girls were harmed or
mistreated
in the making of this film, instead of the animal, you know, the Humane Society thing. And there's just goofy names and stuff all the way through it. The credits. I don't think it was good. And I can't recommend it to just, like, you know, Joe Schmo. It's like the collective group watch of this. You know, if you're going to have friends over and you're watching a movie and, you know, whatever your party favor of choice is, it may help. But so it can be a lot of fun. But it's in no way a good movie. I mean, I don't think I would recommend it, you know. It's bad. It's a bad movie, but it's a bad movie that, like I said, has a certain self-awareness through some of the jokes and stuff. So, I mean, which goes toward comedy. So it's like it doesn't feel like a comedy, but
not at all.
It does have these moments. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not as bad as The Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
The tomato scale.
Or Monster in the Closet.
You shut the damn horse
it's
mouth.
Somewhere, it's somewhere orbiting those stars. So
it's in that universe.
Yeah. I'm gonna pass on that. Pass a recommendation.
All right, I've seen some real winners down here in the freak show basement.
And now you've seen another?
Yeah, you know, and I was Sharknado'd down here.
You poor bastard.
Oh, damn. And he also watched that movie.
And
you're on fire, Sean.
Just sink and freeze. And I was subjected to Con Air, which was the worst. But yeah, this movie was had nothing to do with the first sorority, and you know,
is that a bad thing?
That's not a bad thing.
No, first one's terrible.
I don't mind the first one. It's
you should.
It's way better than what this movie is as an
really?
a slasher type movie. Yeah.
Like it's a legitimate slasher?
It took itself more serious than what this movie did.
Wait, Sorority House Massacre or Slumber Party?
We have to get that right.
Okay. You know, where they went in knowing that they were trying to make a seriouser movie than what this movie was. Like you brought up, Colin, there's what level of person are you going to, you know, offer this movie? You say, oh, this person needs to watch it. I'll tell you who needs to watch it. 13-year-old little boys. you have your mom take you to Target. You stop in the men's section and you get yourself a brand new pack of tube socks.
Whoa. You never use new socks.
March, then you march over to the cosmetic section. You pick yourself up some
new
Jergens
ones to replace the old ones that you're going to use.
That makes more sense.
There we go. Okay, we figured
Then you go home, and then you
hit
this up
stop
on
there.
You.
I think we get it. I know what's happening.
We don't have to go home with you.
No. We're going to stay here.
That's who
we're
you
shop at Target.
That's the level of what this movie is. It's for pubescent boys looking to get their fill, you know, because even myself, you know, going to Video Outlet, seeing like these kind of covers of movies, that you know, 13-year-old boy, you're like, this is the movie I'm going to rent. But yeah, I wouldn't be like just talking to somebody, you know, work, be like, oh, you really got to see this movie. No way. No way.
Unless you know them, but what if they're the kind people that we're talking to, the freak show fan.
No. No. So I would pass on this movie. I will say though.
Do you want to say what you're about to say? Yeah. Think about it.
Should I take a step back?
The boobage was pretty good in this movie. I will give them on that one. But I'm passing on this movie.
What's like the Joe Bob Briggs review on this? There's like
five boobs, two.
There's more than five.
Yeah.
Because there's the two strippers.
Oh, yeah. So
seven boobs.
It's just like eight boobs. There's five girls. It's like there's 14 boobs. Then no, I was doing the math and then adding the other two. No, I know.
Sean's
that five times two is 12. So
knife
we're good.
Foo. Hook foo.
Yeah, knife foo, hook foo.
Five times two is 12. Yeah.
One's hanging about his severed head. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Two possessions.
I have a few things to say.
God.
She's going to take us to school now.
Okay, no. First of all, I'm going to have to disagree that 13-year-old boys should see this movie. I understand where you're going with it. I have to disagree because 13-year-old boys should not think that those are the expectations of women.
Well, that is true.
That is not what women look like. That is not what women do. So I'm playing my feminist card, and I'm putting it back in my pocket. Now, let's go.
Ruining dreams everywhere.
I'm sorry. 13-year-old boys, that's not how women are. Anyway.
It took me 17 years to figure that out.
Because you watched movies like this.
Because I watched movies. It took me 20 years to figure that out.
All right. Femme card back in the pocket. I will say there was a couple things that we didn't touch on. The fact that this film was made in like a week. Oh, yes. We didn't talk about this.
Yeah. And it shows.
Yeah.
It does. Everything shows in this movie. Like, but
who wrote this movie?
A person.
Do we not know who wrote it?
Maybe. Henry something Wagoner. I don't know.
Regardless.
Yeah.
He wrote it in 3 days. In an interview, he said that he wrote it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, casted it on Friday. And then they spent the next 6 days the following week making the film. Film was made in a week. Now, I mean...
That's the Roger Corman way of doing movies. Just
get it done. Get it out.
Yeah. That considered, I think this was a fun movie. It was a feel-good time. I had fun. We all had fun. Yeah. I would say go for it. Watch it. It was fun. Just not 13-year-old boys.
Okay.
14-year-old.
14. Yeah. 14. Yeah. Okay.
If you have the correct view of what real women are, right, have fun with this movie.
Sophisticated 14-year-old boys can watch this movie.
Yeah.
Sorority House Massacre 2. I had so much fun watching this tonight.
Like I went to the garage after this. I was smiling with joy at the
fun
I had watching this movie. This was fun. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, this movie was everything I remember and more. Now, is it a good movie? No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Terrible.
But it is. I mean, I think you have to. The optimal enjoyment of this movie is getting together with your friends and watching this movie. That experience is, it's wonderful. And for that, I wholeheartedly recommend this movie. This was all fun to me.
Don't show it. Freak show it.
That's right.
And you freak show the shit out of this movie because, damn it, I had fun and I was back to being a 13-year-old boy. I have learned my lessons, Holly. I know.
I know your wife. I know you have.
But for one night, I went back to being a 13-year-old boy, mostly. And
I was a 13-year-old boy tonight. I get it.
And I had a lot of fun watching this movie. I think get together with friends and watch this movie. That's the best way to enjoy it and go for it. And God be with you as you do it.
Are you staying with your original tagline?
What's it say?
Everything I want.
Oh yeah, everything I remembered and more. That's everything I could have wanted. Yeah, it was it.
All right. Well, that's Sorority House Massacre 2 on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Next week, it's going to be my pick, and we're going to watch a slasher movie classic called Pieces.
Pieces.
You don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre.
Oh.
And it's exactly what you think it is. There you go. I used two taglines.
Yeah. That was good.
In the wrap-up. Is it the Star Crash of slasher movies?
Oh, I hope so.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we already saw that tonight, but we're going to find out next week as unintentional humor ruins the day at gore, buckets of gore in pieces next week on Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.